We're following on a little bit with the Christmas story in this. Actually, it's part of the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, but you know, with some of the things that we have wrestled through, I just looked at some of the issues. I mean, I'm just looking around, and I know that there are many here this morning that not only for us as a fellowship, for Clint and Sharon, for all of us, this has been a challenging year. Can everybody say amen? Amen. We have gone through things we would never have dreamed of going through before. We would never have wished to go through. And yet, here we are. And we've wrestled through them. But there's some scriptures that have been on my heart as I've contemplated the end of this year and the beginning of another year. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 6, it says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" What can man do to me? In Psalm 124, we'll get back to Luke 2, don't worry. Psalm 124 and verses 1 and 4, it says, "If the Lord had not been on our side," now that's a pondering thing, "the flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away." And it's interesting in this psalm, he says it twice, "If the Lord had not been on our side," verse 1. And then second verse comes along, "If the Lord had not been on our side." Let's say that together. If the Lord had not been on our side. You know, at this Christmas time, at this season, as we draw to the close of another year, with all of the joys and all of the celebrations, we realize that many of us have and are facing great challenges in our personal lives. We also have and are facing challenges. I'm talking about us personally. There is a lot of things that are going through, not the least of which, look at the top of my head. That's from not watching where you're going. But well, it seems like a good sermon illustration somewhere there. See, these challenges, though, they could be relational. They could be financial. They could be health. They could be job or career. And many others. But in and through them all, it is important to remember the Lord is on your side. Just take a moment and just ponder right now what you're facing or what you've gone through. And just say, "Thank you, Lord. You're on my side." He's not on their side. He's not on the devil's side. He's not on those things that have come against you. He's not on that side. He's on your side. Turn to your neighbor and tell them the Lord is on your side. You know, we need to encourage each other with that. You know, when you see someone struggling, you know, what an encouragement it is sometimes just for someone to come up, put their arm around them and say, "Hey, listen, this is difficult, but remember the Lord's on your side." Sometimes that is the impetus, that is the comfort that can keep. Sometimes that's the best comfort rather than say, "Oh, I know how you're feeling. Oh, it's so terrible. Oh, I remember when I was going through this and it was so hard." Sometimes that doesn't build us up. The Lord is on your side. The Lord is on your side. You are not alone. God said that he would never leave you nor forsake you. And the Psalm 124 ends this way. "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." And we just read that and go on. Let me read that again. "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." I mean, wow. You mean that the one who made all of this, you mean that the one who made the heavens and the galaxies and the stars and all of the heavenly hosts is our help? Is my help? That's what it says. So when you're going through those difficult things, ponder that. The one who made all of this is my help. He's my help. And as we come to the end of this another year, you know, we have, as we've said, ups and downs. We've had triumphs and tragedy. We've had ins and outs. We've had mountains and valleys. We've had plenty and lean. But through it all, the Lord has been on our side. You know that one of my favorite scriptures in the whole of the Psalms, I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I hold on to that. I hold on to that. Because it follows up with this. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Why? Because He, the maker of heaven and earth, is on your side. Somehow those things we go through begin to shrink. We see them as huge giants. You know, it's like the ones who went in, you know, Joshua, and it's like we see, oh, you should see how big these guys are. But when you consider who's on our side, somehow they shrink down to the insignificant, in a way, size they really are. And it gives us a fresh perspective. We've had a lot of older songs this morning. And I loved it, Bob. It was good. Swing low, sweet. I feel I wanted to have skin like the guys from Congo and start singing like that, you know. But I was remembering a song. I don't know, how many remember Andre Crouch? Whoa, we got Andre Crouch fans. My goodness. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I'm not going to sing it. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Through it all. You know, as we come to the end of this year, it's important. You know, I remember when we were, not only when we were, two times I was climbing very high mountains. One was Kilimanjaro. The other time was the first time I went up into the mountains of Congo in Marungu. But you know, there's something about climbing and you're, oh, this is so high. Are we ever going to get there? And then you stop and turn around and have a look at where you've already come. Because if all you see is what's in front of you, I would have despaired. But then I look back and I see the goodness of the Lord who has brought me this far. That is what we need to be able to do. Despite the difficulty, despite the challenges, despite the trials, look how far we have come. And it is often as we gaze upon the vista below us and behind us that we, have you ever done this? You've climbed a mountain. I remember when we went up with those who went up to Twin Lakes. I know, who went up to Twin Lakes? So there's a few, yes. And remember there was one point where we were even that little mountain. It's a little mountain, really. But we were getting it up and we said, boy, this is getting hard. And then we paused and we looked back and we said, look at that. And somehow, the trial, the testing, the sweat, the didn't matter. We forgot all about that because we have seen where the Lord had been faithful to bring us that far. I remember when we were up on Kilimanjaro and we were about the fourth day in and I was struggling with this, and you know, I said, I looked around, all I could see was more mountain around me. That's all I could see. And he said, well, we still got a couple days to go yet. And I said, our guide was Cambona, and I said, Cambona, I don't know if I'm really struggling here. I mean, I thought I was in pretty good shape, but the altitude and everything else is, and he said, Pastor Ray, come here. Oh, what's the guys that jump up and down? Sorry, my mind is gone. In Africa. Maasai. He's a Maasai. And this is his 127th time up Kilimanjaro. Yeah. Yeah, you can say that. It's no problem, right? But he said, Pastor Ray, come here. And he took me over, and he just took me. There was like a little crevice kind of thing. And he just took me through it, and it was like a precipice. And we just go, and he says, look how far you've come. And we saw all of Tanzania below us. And we could see the Indian Ocean. And we could see Kenya. And I said, okay, no problem. But sometimes that's the perspective we have to take. Because if all we see is the tree in front of us, we'll never see the glorious forest around us. Through it all. See, I believe that the hand of God is at work in our lives, both in the world. He's at work in the world, but he's also at work in our personal lives. And his goal is to bring more and more of Jesus into our daily affairs. And sometimes, saints, and I have to catch myself in this, instead of murmuring and complaining about the disruptions and the inconveniences, might we all be better served by looking at how God's hand is working. Because God is at work. And then start to thank him for what he's doing. Here's a challenge. Thanksgiving. Wow. Here's a challenge I want to put before you. And I'm not going to hold you to it. I want to put it to you. Can you find one thing per day this year to give thanksgiving for? Different. Yep. All 365 days. Can you find something to just say, Lord, I'm thankful for that? If we will, I believe we will get to know God in a way that is powerful and will put us in a place of awe in what God is capable of doing in and through our lives. I love what the prophet Daniel said. He said, the people who know their God shall prove themselves strong and shall stand firm, do great exploits, and they shall prevail valiantly. How do you get to know God? Sorry, but the way I've got to know God the most is through the difficult times, is through the testings and the challenges. You know, one of the things I believe for Clint and Sharon as they go into the sabbatical is they're going to get to know God in a way they've never known him before. Not just because they've quietened their spirit, but because of all they've gone through. And I believe that for us as a church too. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, it says this. It says, God works all things after the counsel of his will. Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. Can you believe that he accomplishes all things according to the counsel of his will? Because if you do, you will come to understand that there are no such things as accidents or coincidences when it comes to God. While there are many events that are not willed by our human mind and our human hands, in that sense they are accidents, nevertheless, there is no single event not willed in some sense by God who controls all things. And that means, even in the things that we have gone through and maybe are going through, there is divine meaning in all the events, if we could only see it. Even in the things you and I are going through right now, God is at work. God is at work. And if we can just penetrate through this. So let's just take a few moments. Let's go to our story in Luke chapter 2. You know the story because, you know, this trust and this confidence and this looking to the future and not staying in the back and using that and saying, look how far you've brought us this far, I believe are characterized in these two people. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 21. And it's the story of Anna and Simeon. And we don't have time, we won't take the time to read it. But the story moves to Anna and Simeon, who just happened to be in the temple at that time. Coincidence. They just happened. Both of them are righteous. Both of them are God-fearing people whom God has sent as witnesses. They just happened. You know, how many have had those suddenlies when it comes to God? Yeah? You've had those times when God just breaks in out of nowhere and you don't know where he's come from. Times when something happens that again reminds us that our Father has been working behind the scenes. All the time. See, Anna and Simeon epitomize this attitude of trusting in God and depending upon his word. Remember, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon God's word, even in the difficult times. No matter what the circumstance. We'll take a moment just to look particularly at Anna. I know there's a lot of people preach about Simeon at this time. I want to look at Anna for a second. Hello? Oh, your Bible's talking. Okay. Clint's got the talking Bible. But think of Anna for a moment. Anna's wedding day, as any wedding day, must have been a joyous occasion. The most important day in the life of this Jewish young woman. She was probably married as a young teenager, because that was the custom of her day. But she had been chosen by God for a unique purpose. Luke tells us that she was a prophet, gifted with special wisdom, gifted with insight. And I wonder if her husband actually appreciated what was in her. I wonder if you husbands really appreciate what God has given you in your mate and in your wife. But after only 7 years of marriage, Anna's husband dies. And her world is torn apart. She's only in her early 20s and already she's a widow. And Anna could have become bitter, could have become angry at God for allowing this tragedy to enter into her life. But instead, she let the challenge and the testing and the suffering draw her closer to God. Because she was believing in God's special purpose for her life. So she devoted herself to serving him. Now here's a question. This is a day of questions at the end of the year. Have you responded? How have you responded to the difficult and challenging situations that have come upon you? As if some strange thing, the scripture says. Could you or can you even now, today, respond differently to those challenges? Anyway, with our story, for many decades, Anna lived in the temple, spending her days in fasting and prayer. She lived at a time when there was a lot of political upheaval, religious corruption, but she was faithful. And she faithfully interceded for her people, trusting in God's promise of a Messiah. And throughout the years, Jewish families, they would come to Jerusalem to offer sacrifices, and they would celebrate the religious holidays. And year after year, they saw Anna serving in the temple every single year. She had been there as long as most people could remember, and they admired her devotion. By the time she reaches 84 years of age, and there's some discrepancy because some say she had been a widow for 84 years. Others say she was 84 years. I don't know. 84 is still up there. I don't want to pick on anybody. But obviously, Anna's health has deteriorated, but her spiritual senses are keen and they're sharp. This lifetime of diligently seeking the Lord has made her uniquely sensitive to His leading. She's devoted to prayer. She's not just talking to the Lord. She's listening to His voice. How many of us, this is question time, talk to the Lord, but we don't listen for His voice? You know, in the midst of difficulties, we can rail and rant and shout and scream and maybe even swear sometimes at God. But do we ever take the time to say, okay, God, I'm listening? Because many times He will keep us there until we're ready to listen. She walked with God. And that is why when a certain young couple came into the temple on that day to dedicate their infant son on the eighth day, she knew immediately that this wasn't just an ordinary child. Anna recognized the tiny baby named Jesus, that this was the long-awaited Messiah. And her heart leapt within her. God's promise was at last being fulfilled. The deliverer, her rescuer, had been sent. And as the culmination, in the sense of her lifetime of humility and trust and devotion to the Lord Jesus and obedience to God, God allowed Anna to see the Savior before she died. And the Luke says this, coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to everybody who looked for redemption in Israel. See, in our circumstances, as Anna's circumstances, because she chose to trust God and follow His direction for her life, Anna was able to fulfill the special purpose for which she was designed. Her obedience, her humility, and her trusting in the faithfulness of God put her in the right place at the right time, and with a spirit sensitive to God's leading. You know, saints, how we respond to those challenges can put us in the right place at the right time to respond to the Spirit's leading. It's about our response. It was part of God's wonderful plan, and she became the first evangelist in Scripture. She proclaimed the good news. But how might the story have ended if she had not had a good attitude and a right response in trusting the sovereignty of God, who was working behind the scenes, as it were, for 84 years to lead her to have a place in history? Then we have Simeon. He's a man of great faith. He's seeking God's consolation. He sees Jesus, and now this guy's ready to die in peace. His peace is not that everything's going to be okay. And you know something? In the midst of our challenges, sometimes everything isn't going to be okay. But God can still release in us His peace. See, the peace that He was not this naive notion that the Messiah would bring only joy and prosperity to Israel. His peace is the assurance that God keeps His word. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Simeon depended upon the word of God. He had seen the Messiah according to His word. And somehow, beyond all the conflict, beyond all the things, that salvation will prevail. Through it all, through it all. There's so much more we could say. Something about Simeon is it says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He was waiting. He was eagerly expecting the Messiah. You know, we had the opportunity of, you heard me tell a story about the old man, the old pastor. He's 98 years old now in Congo. Still reads without glasses. I don't know. He says his wife's getting a little bit frail and she can't make it all the time anymore. As if, I don't know what's wrong with her. You know? But you know, he's 98 years old. And I said, you know, I asked him, I said, Pastor, what has kept you? He says, you know something? He said, God gave me a word that I would not die until I see peace in this nation. And because he's had a word. And if I could have a prayer for you at the end of this year, if you are going through difficult challenges, let the God who is the God who created the heavens speak a word into you that even in the midst of it, you can hold on to and say, yeah, but God has said. God has said. Because otherwise it's your own human effort. Well, I'll just be tougher. I'll just work harder. I'll just press a little harder. I'll try do a little bit better. My wife is tired of hearing that. Even in the last couple of days. There's this and there's this. I said, okay, dear, well, I'll just try. I don't want you to try harder. It isn't about you trying. And it isn't about us trying, saints. As we end this year, I want us to go into another year with a fresh perspective. God can give us his word. God can give us his word. And then one of the things that's characteristic, for time we'll just close here, but one of the things that's the interesting perspective, both Anna and Simeon had a similar response. They began praising God. They began praising God. They began praising God. Habakkuk chapter 3. You know, that again, though the fig tree doesn't, everything's going wrong. There be no start, everything, there's nothing's going right. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I'll rejoice in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He's the one that's on our side. He's the one that's on our side. Saints, this morning, all I want to do is encourage you. I want to encourage Clint and Sharon as they go into this time that God is on their side and that the word of God will sustain us and it will carry us. And through it all, we can depend upon his word. You know, there's something about a sweetness in those who have gone through the trials that makes the fragrance that other people want to find out. And I pray that this year there will be people coming and say, I don't know how you do it, but how do you do it? That they would ask. Because there's something that you've embraced that they haven't been able to embrace. In Lamentations, and somebody says, can anything good come out of Lamentations? Turn with me to Lamentations. The book of groans, they call it. But listen to what it says in Lamentations chapter 3. You've got your Bibles. Verse 21. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. The Lord's loving kindnesses indeed never cease, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. Can anything good come out of Lamentations? The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Can your soul say that this morning? Can you join with me this morning and just say, the Lord is my portion? Can you say it with me? The Lord is my portion. Say it again. The Lord is my portion. That's the big thing. Yeah, we'll have struggles. We'll have struggles. Listen to the words. Let me close with this. The words of that song. Andre Crouch. I wish I could sing. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong. You can say amen anywhere along there if it fits, right? But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come only to make me strong. Through it all. Through it all. Second verse goes this. I've been to lots of places. I've seen lots of faces. But there's times I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus lets me know that I was his own. And he closes this psalm by saying this, I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know God could solve them. Isn't that good? I'd never know what faith in God can do. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned to depend upon his word. Let's stand together, could we? So much more we could say about the story of Anna and Simeon. I'm sorry, but I just felt I've done what I needed to do this morning. Clint, are you okay to come and pray for us this morning? But saints, next week we'll have the good news. Our New Year's message or whatever you want to call it. But as we end this year, can we make a determination together? I'm going to depend. I would have despaired. If the Lord had not been on our side. But he is. He's on your side. Hallelujah. 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 He's on your side. Amen. Clint, pray for